Welcome to the Turbo Time Podcast. I'm your host, online editor Tim Lukak. Today, we're joined by the two Mythbusters, Klaus Brunn and Reiner Kurz. This time around, we'll be investigating whether or not we can quickly make more liquid natural gas. There's a myth out in the wild that the industry is capable of doing so easily. Klaus is director of research and development at Elliott Group, and Reiner is manager of gas compression engineering at Solar Turbines. I'd like to welcome you both to the show and thank you for your longstanding contributions to the magazine.
Hello, this is Klaus Brunn, and I appreciate you inviting us again for our next Mythbuster discussion, which today is going to be about LNG production and some of the world demand and limitations, especially on the turbomachinery side. I appreciate you having us on.
Hi, this is Reiner Kurz. I'm glad to be invited, and I'm really excited talking about LNG.
Let's start with a little background on LNG. Can you briefly describe the process of LNG, how it's used, the role it plays in the overall energy landscape, and how turbo machinery fits in?
Yes. First of all, LNG, or liquefying natural gas, has allowed to have a fungible LNG market. That means you're no longer tied by putting a pipeline from the source of your natural gas to the end user of the natural gas. By liquefying natural gas, you essentially can make it, put it on ships, and you can distribute it with far fewer restrictions, both in terms of distance, but also in terms of end users, than you can do it with natural gas in pipelines. But at the end of the day, it is natural gas. So the process to liquefy it is essentially a refrigeration process where you generate refrigeration loops with lower and lower temperatures, and then you use these to cool the natural gas to a temperature where it becomes a liquid. That's about at minus 160 degrees centigrade. In order to bring that natural gas from the source to the LNG facility, you still use pipelines. You still have the normal compression in pipelines. In the LNG plant itself, you first clean up the gas. So you take out things like water or heavier hydrocarbons. And then essentially the refrigeration loop, that's really where you use massive amounts of turbomachinery that essentially create lower and lower temperatures in the refrigerant. These machines have become bigger and bigger, so the capacities have become larger and larger in LNG plants. Key centerpiece in all of this, and that's where the turbomachinery fits in, are the gas turbines that drive the refrigeration compressors and the refrigeration compressors themselves.
If you allow me to jump in here a little bit, as Reiner stated correctly, LNG has now become a world commodity. It's now being produced and it now can be shipped all over the world. So you're not dependent on a point source and a point delivery anymore as it is with pipelines. But, and this is really important to understand, it is still natural gas. And so the entire infrastructure that is required for natural gas production also applies for LNG. Now, the United States has become the largest LNG exporter in the world over the last 15 years or so. So we produce currently around a little more than 12 billion cubic feet per day. That's a lot of natural gas and roughly makes up about 15% of the total U.S. natural gas production. The conundrum, the issue we're facing right now is that because of geopolitical events, the demand for natural gas in the form of LNG here in Europe has dramatically increased. And so now all that has to be replaced by other producing nations. The major producing nations are the United States, Qatar, Australia, et cetera. But the United States has kind of jumped in and made commitments to provide a lot of this LNG to Europe. Roughly, the LNG production in the United States needs to increase by about 20%. To meet this demand. That is about 3 billion cubic feet per day additional, which means the overall natural gas production in the United States needs to increase by somewhere between 3 to 4%. Reiner mentioned that there is refrigeration compression that's required in an LNG plant. For every 1,000 horsepower of compression that's required in an LNG plant, there's about another 10,000, so 10 times as much horsepower of compression required in the upstream and the midstream to get the gas to the LNG facility. Currently, the United States has roughly about 15,000 compressors, mostly small recips, installed in the upstream, and about 8,000 compressors installed in the midstream. And those are gas turbine driven centrifugals, electric motors, centrifugals, and recips. There's about 40 million horsepower installed just in the midstream and another 25 million horsepower in the upstream. And what we're saying right now, what is happening is because of the very drastic increase in demand for LNG, that needs to increase by roughly another 2 to 3 million horsepower in the next 12 to 18 months to meet this additional LNG demand. That sounds, again, okay, we can just make more LNG by increasing our plant size. Well, these plants depend on compressors to run. And if you look at the manufacturing process of compressors, there are very long lead item compressors right now. We're talking 12 months, 18 months to get a compressor. So some of this LNG production demands that we're talking about are wholly unrealistic.
I'm wondering, what are the technical barriers preventing optimized production levels of LNG, and how can the industry adapt to overcome these obstacles?
Well, let me start on the driver side, the drivers of these refrigeration compressors. Initially, a lot of these were steam turbines, and then the industry moved to large so-called single shaft gas turbines, which were directly derived from gas turbines that are used in large power generation. These machines are probably the only machines available in the 100 megawatt size driver range, but they create a bit of a problem with flexibility in these plants. So you now see the influx of somewhat smaller so-called two-shaft gas turbines, which are either derived from aircraft engines or are derived from purpose-built industrial gas turbines that create far more flexibility in the starting and adjusting of the plants to different ambient conditions. Parallel to that, we've also seen the influx of variable speed electric motor drives that also have similar advantages in flexibility, but now you have to figure out where you get all the power from. So in many instances, a dedicated power plant has to be built to provide the electricity for these drives. The other thing that you see is there is a trend or balance between making the refrigeration process itself more efficient. The problem is the increase in efficiency in the process gives you usually a higher cost to build the plant. So there is a balance there. Even though we're talking about turbine machinery, one of the challenges is really the building very effective heat exchangers, because that is at the core of this refrigeration process, is to transfer heat from several streams into other streams in terms of ultimately cooling down the natural gas.
So these are very, very expensive plants. I mean, a typical large scale LNG facility costs well in excess of tens of billions of dollars to build. And so that's another interesting challenge currently, is that companies have to build these very large facilities to meet LNG demand in the world. But on the other hand, is the question of, will there be a market for LNG as we're looking at decarbonization of the energy industry? And so companies are struggling very often with this. Are we going to build new LNG facilities? And we have a market for it, but we don't know if we're going to be able to sell that LNG.
Thank you, Klaus. But I'm afraid that's all we have time for today on this episode of the Turbo Time podcast. Join us next week for the finale of our discussion on LNG in the turbine machinery industry. This is online editor Tim Lukak. Thanks for listening.